Let's go! Come on, everybody, and let's get to bumping, cause it's thrill, play the time. Baby, Rip City's jumping now.
Keep Brindle up the middle.
Hit!
Come on, everybody. All right, everybody, welcome to the 382nd edition of the Holy Backboard Podcast. I am Dustin here in Rip City, and I got my man
Sage. We're doing our mock draft 2.0 for the month of April, and I'm very excited about, you know, doing more draft coverage. The regular season is wrapping up very, very quickly, so most of the stuff that we do for the Holy Backboard Podcast is going to be draft related, because as you look on the shared screen right now, Portland has two potential lottery picks, so It's very important. All right. So I'm going to run the Tankathon sim, see where we're doing in this mock.
Mock draft after the madness.
Yes. All right. Sim Lotto. Portland went down. Portland went very much down. So Portland's at 8.
And I don't really mind this.
No, I don't either.
One, it's a little spicy.
Mm-hmm.
Do you mind if I take Portland's picks? Do you care? I know they're different.
I'll do the second, you do the first. Okay. I'll do odds, you do evens. How about that?
Works for me. Yeah. Okay. Kick us off. So
I'm doing odds.
The number one pick.
All right. So number one is San Antonio. And then the Raptors move up. So this is San Antonio's only pick. So that kind of puts some stress on San Antonio, because they're expecting two picks. And I would think one is one of the French dudes, and then one is a playmaking guard. So, you know, it's tough, because, like, missing out, the one thing they desperately need is some guard to give to Wembanyama for him to be in the places to succeed. And I don't really think that there's, I mean, if they go Trae Young or DeJounte in a trade, this obviously changes everything. But we aren't a San Antonio Spurs podcast, so we would not know. So with me just knowing they need a playmaker as badly as possible for Wembanyama, for Devin Vassell, for all of these players, I guess we're starting off with Nikola Topic, first overall pick, because of the playmaking, the way that he can help out Wembanyama, the way that he can help Vassell, Keldon, all of these players. They desperately need a point guard. The Jeremy Sochan experiment failed. They need a guy to start building on, building chemistry with Wembanyama, building it with Devin, just to set him up for all the points. He dives to the paint and doesn't get rewarded for the off-ball movement. Let's find him a guy that can absolutely deliver him the ball and deliver some great passes and some really nice paint points with Nikola Topic. I mean, the Raptors moving up really screws up any plans that you have for San Antonio, because double dipping and getting somebody like that, like Rob Dillingham would be perfect with if the Raptors gave the pick to San Antonio. But since they only have one dude, I think you go with Nikola Topic at number one.
Yeah, you have probably a three-way race between Dillingham, Castle, and Topic.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not stressed about the Spurs only getting one pick. They have time. Like, their player is so good now. They can take their time. But this is definitely a needs-based draft. You could see 4, 5, 6 different players go number one. So that makes a lot of sense for the Spurs. Who has number two, Sage?
You have the Toronto Raptors moving up in this lottery.
So all of that tanking really worked out in this scenario. They did give up their top 6 protected pick for Jakob Poeltl, which I don't understand what Masai Ujiri was doing in that scenario. And I think he realized that later on too. He's like, oh, I guess I got to get rid of Pascal and OG, and we're not very good now. So the Raptors are another interesting team, a less talked about treadmill team, but they're definitely a treadmill team. They're building around Scottie Barnes, who I think is a solid player. I mean, he's an all-star, but I think he's one of those borderline all-stars. They've got Gary Trent Jr. They've got Quickly. They've got Barrett. They've got Olynyk. I mean, they've got pieces, but they don't have I don't think they have a foundational person to build around, and I don't think they're going to find that player right now either. I'm going to have them take Zachary Risache. He is an upside pick. Had they not taken Grady Dick last year, I may have slid Dalton Knecht into this spot, but they probably hope that Dick can ascend to the level where
good shit.
Knecht is right now, but Risache, international player, somewhat closer to home being on the East Coast. Toronto's a very, you know, diverse city, and I think he can. The thing about Risache is he had a hot shooting stretch, but he's really cooled off, and people are starting to win the in the free throw shooting isn't really improved. So people are starting to wonder, was that hot stretch? Mm-hmm. Was that an anomaly? Is he reverting back to the mean? At 19, you still have some time to figure it out. You can figure out if he's more than just a catch and shoot player, but he does provide size. He does provide some ball handling. He does provide some shooting, all of the defense things that the too. Raptors like. Oh my God. I'm so sorry. They're taking Alex Sarr.
I'm not editing this. That's fine. Perfect.
I'm under the weather, and I definitely have slower gears right now. They're taking Alex Sarr.
This is perfect. That's perfect. You talked about Dick ascending, and then you talked about you changed your mind mid.
It's just like every mock draft I've seen has Sarr going number one. So when he didn't go number one, it was just like it didn't click.
Yeah, I totally get you.
Yeah, but they're gonna take Alex Sarr. They're gonna hope he can anchor their defense. I do. Of all of the top prospects, I think I'm most worried about Alex Sarr because he's not getting playing time in the NBL. And I get it, they're playing veterans to win now. But if you're a projected number one pick, you should be doing something next year in the league. Mm-hmm. So that you should be getting more time. Like, you should be ready right now to play at a level of the NBL. Like, no disrespect, that's where the Dellavedovas and the Aaron Baines of the world are playing. So. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's just a seniority thing with his squad, but like the thing that worries about, I have more worries about Sarr than I do like enamored. Like, you're enamored with, you know, he's 7'1", he can move, you know, he can block some shots, but like, what does he do on offense? Like, you have to believe in the shot for him to be a Jaren Jackson Jr., right? Mm-hmm. What does he do?
His lack of going to the rim too scares me.
He has a lot of holes that, you know, you're kind of seeing, you know, with Jaren, he has holes and Jaren's a much better shooter. Evan Mobley doesn't have the shot that Jaren does, but Evan Mobley's a much better defender than I think Alex Sarr is right now. So like, you're banking a lot on Sarr hitting a couple of things that those two guys already have. And those two guys that we talked about, Mobley and Jackson, they're nice, but I don't know if they have that extra gear offensively to take them to an all NBA level. Right now, they're kind of one way players to an extent. Jaren does have a nicer offensive game, especially when he's alongside Ja. So that was a long winded way of saying the Raptors are going to go with some defense. They love length. They're going to have Scottie Barnes, Quickly, Barrett, and now Alex Sarr. It will be tricky because I don't know if Sarr is going to be a five and Scotty kind of projects better as a four. So they might be in another Pascal Scotty scenario, but they're going to go best player available. Take him. You're on the clock at three.
So we have the Utah Jazz at three. You know, I think Danny Ainge is the opposite of risk averse. He will take a risk on a player. I think the number one guy that has the highest ceiling is Stephon Castle from the champion UConn Huskies. There's a chance that he becomes, you know, there's obviously the track of Lonzo Ball, small forward type of guy that can be a connector. But there's also a chance that he reverts to lead ball handler Stephon Castle that put 40 on Ron Hollins in high school. You know, he was asked to do a certain role at UConn, and he looked like a fantastic connective piece. But if he can revert to playmaker Stephon Castle. I think Utah is one of those teams that absolutely would be willing and love to give him a chance to do that. They played Keontae at the one a lot, got him a lot of playmaking reps, which is very helpful because Stephon has shown that he can be a very successful connective piece on an offense. And, UConn's fantastic and Utah's bad, but like he can be a very great connective piece. And I think that they can do the your turn, my turn type of, you know, playmaking thing. So I think that Stephon, because of the defense that he has, the connectivity, the potential ceiling outcome of Stephon Castle being, you know, like a starting star level guard, Danny Ainge would absolutely be all over it as a Utah general manager. So I'm going Stephon Castle. I mean, obviously Richey is there, but having a guy that could potentially be a lead guard in Stephon, I think is worth the risk. And then the fact that they went up in the lottery, you know, Stephon's there. I think you take the highest ceiling player.
Yeah, he had a solid Final Four. Alabama started out that Final Four game begging him to shoot, and he hit two threes right off the bat. Probably had his best performance of the tournament, 30 minutes, 21, 5, 2 assists. And then he followed that up Monday night with the national championship winning performance, 15 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists. Shot around 50% in both of those games, played big minutes. My questions with Stephon Castle, is he doesn't really want to shoot the ball.
No.
And it takes him a while to load up. So even when like those shots went in against Alabama, I was like, man, that is a lot of like loading time for that thing.
He needs like an extreme runway.
Yeah, and he's not great at finishing. He's not a supreme athlete. Like I was telling you, I was like, he reminds me of like if he hits, he reminds me of Blazers Josh Hart, where like he's not going to shoot, but he's going to be a good defender, and you know fans are probably going to love him. But like in this draft, that's going to get you to go number three. I'm lower on Stephon Castle.
Yeah, I think you're
low. Than most, but like I've just been burnt by this type of player before. I was at the Pelicans Blazers game on Tuesday, and I was like, oh yeah, Dyson Daniels is still in the league. I remember like covering him, and it's like, yeah, I thought the shot would come around, and I thought he'd be more of a ball handler, and he's just another guy out there. Like he doesn't want to shoot, can't really shoot. He doesn't move great. Like he doesn't have Lonzo handles. Like when we say a Lonzo three, like Lonzo has elite vision and ball handling skills. Like out of UCLA, he was running it. But the thing that held him back was his shot. So like maybe Lonzo small forward light is the comp for Castle. But yeah, I mean I understand.
I think I was not a fan of Dyson Daniels. Period. But I think Castle is a better passing playmaking prospect than Dyson ever was, because I just like it's quicker, faster, better decisions from Stephon Castle. So I don't think that he's going to have the Dyson Daniels, ugh, why is he on the floor type of response. So at four, you have the Memphis Grizzlies going up three spots. Yeah,
this is a pretty, I think, cut and dry pick for me with the Memphis Grizzlies. They're going to take Donovan Clingan from the university.
They're going to not take Richey?
No, they are going to go. And I thought about that, but they have struggled so many times to find that small forward, right? And I get it. The allure would be Richey, but they're going to go with Donovan Clingan. They traded away the injured Steven Adams for those 3 second-round picks. They already, like, John Morant already knows how to play with that type of big man. Clingan gives you the interior defense that allows Jaren Jackson Jr. to roam. Jaren's not going to play the five. He doesn't want to play the five. He wants to go out there, roam, shoot the threes. Clingan, I am starting to mildly warm up.
Like him a little bit, me too.
A little bit. I think there is severe bust potential there. I think he could be Joel Prisbilla 2.0, because in other situations, what he does offensively could really impact how he turns out in the league. But because Ja Morant knows how to play with this type of big, he's going to set you brick wall screens. He's going to roll to the basket. I think the reason I'm warming up to him is I'm seeing the short roll
the potential. Passing. Yes,
okay. He's got good passing. He's got good processing. He did decent against Zach Edey. That opening possession, he walled him up. But then, you know, Zach's just, he's bigger. But Zach's going to be bigger than a lot of other folks. Yeah. I don't know if Klingon's calling card is just going to be just on the block, interior, one-on-one man defense. Because mostly teams aren't going to just dump it into a
There's big. Like six teams that do that.
Where he's going to shine is he's going to protect that rim. You're going to have he and Jaren Jackson Jr. to protect that rim. Bane plays great defense. You're going to get Ja back. They still have Marcus Smart. Like, I think they could figure out a way to find that small forward via, you know, trade or free agency. But, you know, this is a team that's looking to win now. I know they're a younger team, but they were just the 2 seed 2 years ago, the 3 seed last year. Like, I don't know if they have the appetite to wait on another 19-year-old like they did with Zaire and all of the Jake LaRavias and Kenneth Loftins and all of those players that they tried to draft. But I thought Klingon played solid in the final 11.
If he becomes Jakob with passing, I think they'd 11 be and very five. Happy.
Yeah, he shoots a high percentage around the rim. Only the one block. And I think he had a couple against Bama, two to start the game against Bama, then one late. He's not going to have to play big minutes. That's the other good thing is like Jaren can switch over to the five, but I think in this draft he's going to go high. Like you said, he could be Gobert, he could be Prisbilla, he could be
out of the league because of his foot injuries as well.
The foot injuries scare me. It's honestly what scares me more is the lack of offense. Like, he really needs to figure out the free throw shooting. And he needs to figure out some sort of a move when he gets the ball in the post where there's just like a quick jump hook. Like, that's where Edey has him. Edey's got a quicker processing speed when he gets the ball down. He knows where he wants to go outside of a lob threat. Like, Klingon doesn't have that.
Yeah,
and Steven Adams did. Steven Adams grew into that where, you know, if he sealed his man, he's able just to turn and put it up over. But, you know, he's a winner. He knows how to win. He's going to give you defense. I think it's a good match.
I do too. Yeah, he like the passing made me like, okay, I see.
Yeah, that's where I spent a lot of time watching him this weekend. A lot of time watching his scouting reports. And it's like, okay, like if a team wants to utilize them, and they've got some smart players in Memphis, they know how to play basketball. So they could work something there.
I think Detroit's up next, and Detroit runs and gets Zachary Richey. Yeah,
and this is a perfect scenario for Detroit too.
Yeah. Yeah. So the thing that I think Detroit needs desperately is some shooting. Zachary Richey is that type of shooter. The defense that he provides is going to help. Monty is going to like that if he's still the coach. I just think Cade, Asar, JD, Ivy, they all need spacing. And to start building the spacing around these guys is really important. Richey is not going to be a lead playmaker guy, period. I think that he is a connective piece. The reason that I had him so high for so long was that I thought that he could, you know, grow up to be a lead guy. I don't believe that anymore. I think that he is a really nice connective piece that can do really good basketball plays when Cade Cunningham and Jaden Ivey do the initial breaking of the defense. Richey can make the right play and set his teammates up that way, which, shit, Blazers don't really have any connective pieces, so having one is huge. So I think the Pistons go Zachary Richey here with the Detroit Pistons pick. And even though they fell down 4 spots, they still get, I think, their number one guy in Zachary Richey. With the 6th pick, you have the Washington Wizards, who dropped 4 spots in this draft. Where do they go to find any piece that can fit with them? We took Alex Sarr. We took Zachary Richey. Topic is gone. Where do we go for the Wizards, who need as much help as humanly possible? What are you doing for them?
This would be worst case scenario for the Wizards. Yeah. I don't think they have a single building block outside of Bilal Coulibaly. Yep. And that's just like on potential. Like you saw a little bit this year, but he's still really young. So if the draft unfolded like this, and it sucks, all of the prospects left are like small forwards. And that's exactly what he is.
Mm-hmm.
So if the draft unfolded like this, I'm going to have them take Rob Dillingham from Kentucky. I would hate this pick if I was a Wizards fan, but I'm just going through, kind of putting on my GM hat for them. And Klingon's gone, Sar's gone, Risa Shea's gone. Like all of Topic is gone. Topic would have been benefit there, but I think they're going to go Dillingham. They'll try to offload Jordan Poole if they can.
They just need to get a bunch of defensive players. Like the Denny Avdia is perfect for Rob Dillingham because Rob sucks defensively, but he has so much juice offensively. So the Wizards kind of have Coulibaly. They have Avdia. They have defensive pieces that he can use to be as effective offensively as he possibly can.
They absolutely cannot play Dillingham and Poole together, though.
That would be the worst meme of, like, I don't know if you were on
I hate this pick. The more I talk, I hate this pick. I hate that there's just a no-win situation here if I'm the Washington Wizards.
Yeah.
You know what? Like, I'm changing. I'm sorry. So the reason they're going to take Matas Buzelis.
Okay, I'm fine with that.
Because he can play the 2-4. He could play alongside Coulibaly. Like, just talking through that, I was like, they're not going to be able to offload Poole. Dillingham's going to be listed lower than 6'3".
I think I saw he's 6'1" when he did the OTE combined. He doesn't look 6'3". He and Reed Shepard
does not look 6'3". Yeah, and I could see the Wizards doing it. The more we talked about it, the more I was just like, this just does not sit right with me. They're going to take Matas Buzelis, 6'10". They're going to bank on the high school tape. He played a little bit better after Ron Holland went down. The shot still never came around, and players who are touted as specializing in something but go up a level and aren't able to replicate that specialty really scare me. And he's not my favorite prospect, but I think in terms of upside, size, positional versatility, he can play in different lineups. And I think he's just more of an upside swing than Dillingham. Dillingham's pretty safe, and I think right now they are just in like ceiling players mode.
Mm-hmm. I feel it. Rob, you need so much.
And the Wizards, the Wizards dropping down would just be a nightmare for them.
Yeah, they need the star as badly as possible. So Charlotte is 7. They drop down 3 spots along as well as the Blazers. The last four that we did were the 4 biggest drops in the lotto. So at 7, I think you're just going to add to the wings of Charlotte because I think they believe in LaMelo, so I'm not going point guard. Brandon Miller is a success. I was not as big of a fan as him. I thought the lack of athleticism would be a humongous devastation for him, but he is a legitimately great player. I think I'm going to go Cody Williams because Cody doesn't want or need to be that alpha guy. You have Brandon Miller to be the alpha guy. He can be the secondary guy that cuts off ball, scores, dishes it to the players. He has that shot hesitancy. But as long as Brandon Miller can keep on the trajectory of being a alpha wing, Cody, I think, would be very happy to be the beta guy next to him, setting him up, being a connective piece, playing good defense, learning with Brandon Miller, learning with LaMelo how to win games. So I think I'm going Cody Williams here after the big drop-off of 3 spots. What would you have done with the Hornets?
That's a really tough question. I think it's a bummer that they're so committed to LaMelo because I love the idea of putting Connect next to Brandon Miller. And I think they should build around Brandon more than LaMelo. LaMelo's always hurt, doesn't play any defense. I think he's I think he's a mixtape NBA player, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, yeah.
But
we've talked a lot about mixtapes NBA players the last 5 minutes with Rob and LaMelo.
But they are committed to him. So I think Cody makes sense. I think Ron Holland makes a little bit of sense there. They have so many centers that they've tried out over the past few years. So, and there's not really that power forward there. So yeah, I think I, you know, definitely fine with Cody. I think they could have also gone with Reed Sheppard because you have the taller point guard in LaMelo. And you could slide Sheppard in there, and he's going to play smart basketball for you and hit shots, which is what they need. So they have options.
They do. I mean, the worst case scenario was Wizards. Now we're just going back to like, this is fine. Whatever needs to be done can happen. So with the Portland Trail Blazers, where are you going with the?
Yeah, dude, we're taking Dalton Connect from Tennessee. This is a run up to the podium. You know, I think. It's been reported that Ron Holland is closer to 6'6 than 6'8. And I know 2 inches doesn't make a lot of difference, but when you're trying to play, when someone plays like a power forward rather than a wing, that those 2 inches may make a lot of difference. Mm-hmm. I would be fine with Holland here. I think he has maybe a little more upside, but the floor of Connect is much safer. I mean, watching Scoot Henderson against the Pelicans and during over this past road trip, he succeeds when he has people that can make his plays for him. Mm-hmm. Like, he will set them up, but you need play finishers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when Rupert and Reith and Murray are hitting his threes, that opens the floor up. It allows him to operate with DeAndre Ayton. Like, Dalton Connect is, I think, a much higher floor player than people give him credit for, and I think he has a higher ceiling than people give him credit for. Yes, I know he's 23. One of my favorite draft personalities on YouTube, Hoop Intellect, did a breakdown on Dalton and kind of broke down some of the older players taken in the lottery. And I know there's not a great track record, but there has been Cam Johnson, you know, in just recent years. And I would say coming out of college, Dalton Connect had a much better resume than Cam Johnson. And some of these players, like, you know, an Obi Toppin or even a Chris Duarte, they didn't produce at the collegiate level like Dalton did. Like, he is a legit three-level scorer. He is going to be an off-ball threat, so teams are going to have to always keep an eye on him. He's going to be like, Scoot finds so many players in the corners wide open for shots. And if you're committed to Scoot, you need an absolute lights-out shooter. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's got a great body. He's got good athleticism, not just for a white guy or not sneaky athleticism. He's got good athleticism. Kind of shades of Thunder Dan Marley will throw it down on you, but he's got the big scoring body where, you know, he's not just going to score like off the ball, catch and shoot. He can score off the ball, 1-2 dribbles, get into the middle of the paint, rise up, hit that bucket, go into contact and finish. I think he's going to need to be a little bit better, more creative finisher, as all rookies will be. And then, you know, he tries on defense. And I think that's as long as you can hide him on other Dalton Connects around the league, I think you're fine. But like, most players are going to get cooked if they get switched on to, you know, KD or Luka. As long as you can just put him in a scenario around other defenders, like, I think he's going to pay dividends. And the Blazers are in a position now where they need to start finding pieces. Around, like, you're not gonna find hopefully you've found your DeAndre, and I think, you know, the beauty of having two lottery picks, maybe you go high floor, maybe you go high ceiling. I'm choosing to go high floor with Dalton Connect.
I like it. I mean, it's time to build around the two young stars that we have and see if what we got is real. So I'm totally cool with Dalton Connect. With the Brooklyn Nets, I think that they have a team specifically designed with a lot of...
LeBron has a pick?
Yeah.
From who?
Oh. Whoopsie daisies. Houston has a pick. There we go. Yeah. Because Brooklyn, I think it would have been perfect for Rob Dillingham. It would have been perfect for Rob. So Houston has the pick. I think they go Reed Sheppard here. I think Houston's biggest issue is their lack of shooting from the guard position, because you got Amen Thompson, you got Jalen Green, who isn't the best shooter in the world. They need spacers. I mean, like, Jabari and Fred VanVleet can't be the only guys. I think Reed Sheppard, because of the connectivity that he has, he can play with anybody that the Rockets have in the guard position. Fred VanVleet, he fine. Jalen Green, and he fine. Amen, fine. Like, he just fits with everybody on their team. Reed Sheppard is a knockdown shooter. He has amazingly good hands that makes up for his lack of, in my opinion, good defensive form. Like, I've seen his legs get twisted because his feet aren't good, but the fact that his hands can steal the ball with the scheme and the buy-in from all of these players, I think Reed Sheppard would be a perfect Rockets complimentary piece for the core that they have.
What do you think about, like, Reed? They're kind of like OKC light. You know, mm-hmm. They've got a lot of picks. They've got a lot of talent across the board. They're just kind of filling in, like, smaller holes rather than just trying to close the big gaps. Like, so yeah, it's a perfect, it's kind of like a BPA right there for them.
So Atlanta's 10 for you. Do you want to say they keep their stars, or are you getting rid of their stars?
I don't even know what they, I mean, Jalen Johnson seems like the only safe player right now. Yeah, they're probably like, I mean, what do you do with the Hawks? Like, they're kind of like the Wizards in a way. Like, they don't have a lot of talent. They've wasted a lot of picks. They probably need to get rid of Clint Capella. Like, they drafted Onyeka in the lottery 4 years ago and really haven't given him a chance to mm-hmm. flourish. Maybe he hasn't been that good. The DeJounte Murray trade has kind of been a disaster. He's clearly better with Trae Young off the floor and vice versa. So you kind of have to look and see who is available for them. Obviously, Rob Dillingham is just replicating the failures the that have been with a small backcourt. Yeah. I think they go, if it broke down like this, I think they swing for the fences and take Tijan Salon.
That's what I was gonna say.
Out of France. Mm-hmm. DeAndre Hunter has not worked out after being picked in the top five mm-hmm. A few years ago. AJ Griffin's not getting any run. They traded away John Collins. I mean, their team is just a complete, like, treadmill.
Yeah, like, Jalen Johnson and
if I was the GM, I would tear down everything. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think you can build around Trae Young, who is arguably the worst defender in the league. They really messed up not keeping Luka Doncic in that draft. They had their Blazers conference finals run where you kind of mm-hmm. just get there once. They did it in 2021, and I think that was their peak. And it's kind of they petered out just like Portland did. And I think they need to tear it down. And I think you do that by taking one of the draft's unknowns, but also that comes with, you know, a good great risk, but also great opportunity.
I believe in Saloon's shooting. That's the one, like, 6'10 shoots. That's great. Like, if he can grow into being bigger and better, that's awesome. But at least you have, at bare minimum, a 6'10 guy that shoots the ball well. And I comp him to Obi Toppin. The hips don't lie. Both of them are stiff as shit. So, at 11, the Chicago Bulls are in a very weird position because I really think that they should just tank and get rid of these old dudes that are only going to get worse. Worse defending, worse at, more inefficient. So I believe in Coby White being a legitimate good guard. I believe in the wing guys that they have, that they can be somewhat, like, you know what, I'm going Ron Hollins because I wanted to go Yves Mises, but I think that they just put more money into their old centers. So I'm going to go Ron Holland to just add some grit, determination, and speed onto this old-ass wing core that they have. If he's a little shorter than what we believe, it kind of sucks, but, I mean, Ron Holland's going to compete with Pat Will, Dalen Terry, Ayo Dosunmu. Like, they can put some really nice hustle players together and try and build, like, a team defensive identity with what they have. So I'm going to go Ron Hollins for the Chicago Bulls. I think he's best player available. If I had a board, he would be at the top of the board right now with all of how everything has gone so far.
Solid.
Yeah. Would you have gone anybody else, or is Ron Hollins kind of what Chicago?
Probably, yeah.
Okay. So you have Oklahoma City at 12.
Yeah. And this is a fun team to have because, like Houston, they have kind of a little bit of everything, and they can spend a lottery pick on a niche player. And there is no more niche player in many recent drafts than Purdue's Zach Edey. They have the bigs. They have the personnel in place that can make up for basically any deficiency that a player has. You want to put Zach Edey into some action? Okay, they're going to cover it with Lu Dort and
Kaysen.
And Kaysen Wallace and Chet freaking Holmgren. Like, that talk about, you know, twin towers.
Are like you starting them together, or is he
Chet's? It's just matchup power based. Like, they can do whatever they want. I wouldn't mess with their starting lineup unless they completely bomb out in the playoffs. Like, this is just, you know, when you rebuild like this and you have so many picks at your dispersal, you can kind of just go for, you know, small wardrobe changes. And this is kind of what that is, even though he's maybe the largest piece of clothing in the closet right now when you look at the NBA draft. But I think Zach Edey is a phenomenal talent. I think he's going to go in the lottery, whether anybody likes it or not. He's going to test incredible at the combine. Mm-hmm. I was watching videos of him at the combine last year. He's moving really well. He does have touch. Like,
I think this is the perfect team for him.
He's the reason.
Like, perfect for Donovan, perfect championship for
game. Like, he had 37 and 10 with two blocks on 15 and 25 shooting. He makes his free throws. He played 39 of the 40 minutes. So while Klingon was, you know, just taking rest because they got good backups, Edie's in there just like doing everything he can. Clearly he ran out of the gas, but he was dominant the entire postseason.
And Oklahoma's just a perfect.
See the size gap. Mm-hmm. Like, Klingon is a large human. Edey was clearly towering over him, and when he got the angles that he wanted, he got a shot off. When he knew Klingon was riding that left shoulder, he did a nice spin up and under. It's going to look a little mechanical. Yes, he's 7'4" with basically almost an 8-foot wingspan. Like, I think in limited bursts, he is going to be a really good role player in this league for a long time. You don't have to worry about the health. You don't have to worry about the conditioning. You want to play him down late in games? You can, because he can hit free throws down the stretch. I think he's going to start to develop a couple counters in the post. And once he works on his left, like, he's a rebounding monster. Like, he's going to be awesome. If OKC gets him, like, that's going to be very scary for the rest of the league.
Yeah. If their whole plan is, Chet's our starting center, but we're just going to bring in Zach Edey to be a change of pace, to play him. He'll have Kaysen Wallace, Lu Dort behind him to cover up some of the perimeter defense. He's just going to be in the way defensively, protect the rim, get rebounds. Offensively, we're going to dump it into him against backup fives. Perfect. I have no issue. I think this is a perfect use of a lottery pick for the guy. Like, it's perfect. I just don't, like, as long as that starting five is fine and they're just building the bench, all good. So with the Portland Trail Blazers at 13, they get this pick from the Golden State Warriors. Now, you know, I talked about this exact event on the missing pieces or complimentary pieces with Yves Mises, because I think that he's the best player available right now for me. He's like 8 or 9 on my board. If they go him, everything changes. And I don't know if I think DeAndre deserves a lot of run. So my two choices right now is Yves, who I think is my best player available, and then Tyler Smith, which is a really great fit.
I think but, Smith is a little rich. I was thinking, you know, it's great. Jacoby value is too.
Yeah, but I think I'm going to have to go Yves Mises to fill in the backup five role. And he's a great fit for everybody besides DeAndre Ayton. Great fit because he's an amazing screen setter, one of the best offensive rebounding players in the NCAA in the last like 5 years. He's really scheme versatile, so he'll fit everything defensively for our team. So I'm going Yves Mises at the Blazers pick at 13. So at 14, you have the New Orleans Pelicans via the LA Lakers.
You're the Pelicans fan. Are the Pelicans going to keep this pick, or do they want to defer it for next year and I pick for the Lakers? You make the call. If as a fan of the team, what do you want to see them? If the board fell as it is, you've got players available.
Oh, I know who I would take. Yeah. I would take Jared McCain.
You want the pick?
That's what I would do. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I will pick for the Pelicans. Yeah. I don't have them taking McCain. I can see that. It was one of the guys I was thinking of. Maybe a trade happens or something. I'm not a huge fan of this player, but I just can't imagine Rob Dillingham.
I feel you.
Much yeah. further. Sooner or later, you're going to need to see Jim.
Well, McCollum. You have Herb, you have Jose Alvarado, you have Dyson Daniels, you have all of these defensive players that can make up for the deficiencies of Rob Dillingham. Yeah, I'm player. Cool with that. That's totally cool.
Yeah, so I'm going Dillingham here. I just also I thought of Devin Carter, but I think there's a little duplicity with Alvarado.
Yep.
Thought of Collier, but I think you might be able to trade back and maybe get him a couple of spots.
Well, the Pelicans also have a pick at like 22. So I think Collier might have been the guy for Washington too.
Yeah, I think at this spot. As the board fell, good value across the league of what most people are saying Dillingham. And yeah, just like Edie and OKC are a match made to cover up strengths and weaknesses. Same thing with Dillingham in New Orleans. So I think
that Herb, Jose, all of these Dyson Daniels. Yeah, I like what you're doing. What would you have done with LA?
I don't know, what would you have done?
Probably Jared McCain.
Okay.
I mean, Jared's just a really awesome shooter.
I think that's a trade pick candidate too. I don't think this.
Yeah. I don't know,
I would have went Jacoby Walter with the Lakers.
That's a good one too. Yeah, I think Jared McCain, Devin Carter, or Jacoby, whatever flavor you want, is perfectly fine at 14 for the Lakers or the Pelicans. Yeah, I think Rob Dillingham in New Orleans, just because of who New Orleans has built in the past, is perfectly fine. Like, I think you nailed Zach Edey, you nailed I think you did nail Donovan Clingan, but you also did Rob Dillingham. You've matched some very niche players with the right team that can support them. That was our Lotto Mock Draft 2.0. Thank you so much for listening. We will be back soon. I got a Khalil Ware podcast that I got to record in the next few days. So be prepared for that. Thank you so much for listening to all of the draft content. Go Blazers. This summer should be fun. Peace out.
Wherever you may be, this is Bill Shinley. Good night, everybody.
Let's go! Let's go!